Would you grab your Bibles with me this morning? I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 16. Mark, chapter 16. We're going to be carrying on with the series that we have begun a number of weeks ago. Mark, chapter 16, beginning at verse 17. When you are there, would you just pop your Bible up in the air so I can see that you're there? Yep. You're there, front, back, over, middle. Yep. Awesome. A couple more. Yep. Mark 16, beginning of verse 17. Let me read a couple of verses. Let me go back to 15. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to creation, to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned." That is not politically correct anymore, is it? Look at verse 17. "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. In my name they will speak in new tongues. In my name they will pick up snakes with their hands. In my name, when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. And in my name, they will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." This morning, I am going to share something with you, and I'm going to share it the way the Lord laid it on me, but I want and I need to have you do something this morning as an act of faith. I'll tell you straight up again, I've never felt so strongly in the series that we've been doing. I got to tell you that apart from the Holy Spirit opening up our minds and giving us the ability to grasp what is being shared, it will be completely missed. I'll tell you that a mind of the flesh will not only not get what I'm going to share with you today, a mind of the flesh will not believe this. And I will say to you today that even in the Spirit, even with your faith, there is going to be a battle to believe what I'm going to share with you today, because it is outside the realm of where many of us have lived most of our Christian life. And so I want to say, as an act of faith this morning, if you are open for the Holy Spirit not only to give you understanding in your mind, but revelation in your heart, I would like you to put one hand on your heart, one hand on your head. I want you to do that as an act of faith, as a statement that you are open, your soil is fertile, and you are allowing the Holy Spirit to speak and change. Father, this morning, before we begin, I ask for a fresh anointing. I ask you to take literal possession of my mind and my mouth. I only want to say what I hear you say and do what I see you do. With the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird, and I command you to release every person in this place, be outside the walls of this building. There will be no interference. And Holy Spirit, this morning, every one of us, with our hand on our head and our hand on our heart, we are saying, Holy Spirit, speak to me, teach me, transform me, give me revelation beyond my ability. I trust you. And so I thank you today that you have prepared every heart and every mind. I thank you today, and I prophetically declare every person under the sound of my voice will get it and be transformed by it. And Father, I want to say thank you again that you're going to say things in this place today that are not going to come out of my mouth. You are speaking, and your children are hearing your voice. Let them hear it. Let them know it's from you. And let them be obedient to it. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody in faith said, amen. Amen. The last number of weeks, we have been looking at and talking about a number of things that have happened since Resurrection Sunday. We've been talking about the period of time after Jesus was resurrected until he left the earth, and a little bit after that. We broke it into three parts. For those of you a number of times ago, the first part was we looked at the 40 days after his resurrection till he ascended and what he did over that period of time. One major thing Jesus did in that 40-day period of time. Anybody know what it was? He had a single goal. What was it? Anybody? How many of you were here last Sunday? How many of you here the Sunday before? How many here the Sunday before? How many of you are like kids coming back from summer holidays and go, I have no clue? The question we asked is, what was the main purpose of Jesus during the 40 days after the resurrection before he left? And this was it. He had to move the disciples from a position of unbelieving to believing. Acts 1:3 says it very clearly. After his suffering, he showed himself to the disciples, gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. And he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom. During that 40 days, we talked about his purpose of moving them from unbelief to belief. And what were they having to believe? Believe he was alive? Believe that he would be with them even when he was no longer physically with them? Believe that he was coming back again the same way he went? Believe that he was going to send the Holy Spirit to give them power? To believe that the Holy Spirit could do through them what the Holy Spirit did through Jesus? If you didn't see some of those messages, I encourage you to go back and have a look at them, laid the foundation. His goal was to move them from unbelief to believing. Can I say that is still a pretty powerful goal in the church today? Moving Christians from unbelieving to believing. At the end of that 40 days, on the side of the Mount of Olives. How many of you have actually been to the Mount of Olives, by the way? Just raise your hand high, would you? Yeah, there's probably about a dozen of us who've stood on the mount. So we got that picture of the olive trees that were up there. That is where Jesus, at the end of that 40 days, gathered his disciples together. We talked about this last week. While he was blessing them, what happened? He begins lifting off the ground. Wouldn't that have been awesome? He goes up into the sky. The clouds begin to surround him. Excuse me, he disappears. Bible says he goes to heaven. All of a sudden, while they're gazing, two angels show up and tell them exactly what they needed to hear. We talked about that last Sunday. We went through it. If you haven't, we have a sheet that is available that we went through last Sunday. You can pick it up after the service. But we broke that into three parts as well, into the before the ascension, the during the ascension, after the ascension, and how Jesus used that to solidify their believing and cause them to do what he told them to do, and that was this. Go to Jerusalem, two words, and wait. Don't go anywhere. You wait. Don't do anything. You wait. Can I tell you, that is the only time that God has ever spoken that to the church. Don't do anything. And they didn't. And what were they to wait for? Acts chapter 1, verse 4, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. You will receive power when Holy Spirit comes on you. So they waited. They prayed, they worshiped, they chose a replacement for Judas, and they waited because they were at a place where they believed what Jesus said, and 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, gathered all together, the promise was fulfilled. The Holy Spirit came, separated like tongues of fire, rested on each of them that were present, remained on them, and filled them. And they began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit empowered them. This morning, I need to plant a picture inside of you that I'm just going to give it the way the Lord showed it to me. And I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to give it to you. I'll tell you, I just encourage you to be praying even right now to deal with the unbelief that is going to be hammering you. You need to shut down your flesh. Some of you just need to tell your flesh this morning a few times, just shut up. Just shut up. I'm not listening to you. You silence it. I need to share something that I believe in these days the Holy Spirit is wanting to plant on the inside, and I believe at the end of this message, I'm believing that there are going to be many in this place who will never see themselves again, will never walk out into the world again the same way because of what you experienced this morning. And I will tell you, it is not just going to be about seeing it. There will be opportunity to receive it. I need to plant a picture at the front, and I need help to do a little bit of this, and so I'm going to ask a few of you if you would help me. I need to take this all the way back. And Josh, I would like to borrow you if I could for a second. Bree, I'm going to use you right away too, but I know you really enjoy this and it's your comfort zone. Can I have you lay in the ground for a second? Or you could fall. Either way, I'm good. I want you to, you need to see this in the context of how God saw this. You need to recognize, and I want Josh to represent this morning, I want him to represent Adam in the Garden of Eden. And I want you to recognize what the Bible says. We've all seen this, we've all heard the story, but you got to recognize that God took dirt, formed it together in the form of a man, and what did God do in order to bring him to life? Breathed. Not just on him, breathed in him, and he became alive. Now, Josh, if you would stand up, and I need you to put this life jacket on, if you would. I want the life jacket this morning, and I'm telling you, I'm just doing it the way the Lord showed me this past week. I want you, for that life jacket, I want you to represent that this is the life of the Holy Spirit that God breathed into Adam in order for him to live. Now, I want to say this, when God, and we know this, when God made Adam, created all the animals, Adam named all the animals, did the whole deal, God looked and said, he's alone, and it'd be good for him to have a helpmate, right? Who could be a helpmate for Josh this morning? Bree, I need you. I need you. And here's the cool thing. I know, this is a photo op. I know. This is cool. When God made Adam, God took the dirt and put it together, breathed on him. When God made Eve, put him to sleep, took out of him one of his ribs, created her, breathed into her, and she became a living being as well. Here's the cool thing. They both had the life jacket of the Spirit on them. Now, here's what God said. He said a few things. I got to tell you, this is just, I don't know if this is right, but the Bible doesn't say any different. I believe it was only maybe only hours after he created Adam and Eve that Adam and Eve were deceived by the devil and fell away. Let me tell you why. Because what God did to Adam and Eve, he blessed them. And he said, multiply them. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine? When God blesses you and says multiply, how many times do you think that Adam would have had to know Eve in order for her to get pregnant? If you were blessed by God, how many times would it have to happen? Once. There are people in the world who aren't blessed and they get together one time. Boom, they're pregnant. What's it called? Don't say it. But I believe that God blessed Adam and Eve, and that blessing would have been that if they would have had union, that she would have gotten pregnant, and when they were kicked out of the garden, she'd have been pregnant. Well, I just want to say this. First of all, you need to recognize it was God's design that Adam and Eve never be kicked out of the garden. It was God's design that every child that Adam and Eve had would have been born with a life jacket. It was God's will that the two of them never know a day without the Holy Spirit on them and in them. That was the glory. That was the power. They were walking in that. What happened? We know this. I'm not going to choose anybody. The enemy comes, talks to Eve. Adam was around there, talks to Eve, said, Eve, this fruit is good. God lied. We know the story. What's the moral of the story, men? It's always the woman's fault. That is the moral of the story. No, it's not. Adam would have had a choice. And can I just say this? Even under the anointing, can you imagine if Eve would have brought the apple or the fruit and said, Adam, you know, you got to try this. This is so good. Can you imagine if Adam would have said, give me a minute. God, is this of you? No, that's not of me. Eve, we're not doing that. You know what? Let's throw that away. Let's ask God to forgive us. Let's carry on. Our whole history would have been different. The responsibility of what happens in the home is not lying right here. The responsibility is with the spiritual head of the home. This is where it always lies. Here's what happened. Adam and Eve together made a decision. They did the one thing wrong that God said not to do. had to give them choice to fall, otherwise it's not love. Can I tell you? If someone forces you to do something, it's not love. Love makes a choice. If I was God, I wouldn't have given them a choice. I'd have created them like angels, and I'd have made it so they couldn't choose wrong. That's what I would have done, but I would have been a lousy God. It has to be choice. I want you to hear this really clearly. God said to them, if you eat of the fruit of that tree, you are going to die. I want you to see this. The enemy goes, you're not going to die. I want you to watch what happened, and I want you to get this inside of you. The moment that Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of that tree, can you take your life jackets off and throw them on the ground? This is the picture of death. The moment that happened, the Holy Spirit's anointing, the Holy Spirit's glory, the Holy Spirit's covering on their life, that left them, life left them, and they died. Did they die physically? No, they lived to be 900 and some years old, and then eventually they died. The moment they sinned, they died spiritually with the Holy Spirit coming out off of them. That is death. Let me just say something really not popular today. Every person outside there today who does not know the Lord and is not filled with the Spirit is dead. And if we don't see them as dead, we're deceived. If we look at people and think they're alive, if we look at people and think they're doing well and they don't need us and they don't need our message and they don't need the message of Christ and they don't need us to witness, they don't need... Have you ever seen the movie The Living Dead? Don't. I haven't either. I've seen the commercial. Stupid from the pit of hell. But I have to tell you, this is exactly what we are living in today. We're living in a world where there's dead people walking around. You need to understand something. In the moment that happened, they lost the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm glad Josh is wearing a hat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Isn't that awesome? I want you to hear this for a second. Just because the Holy Spirit came out of them and was off did not mean the Holy Spirit left them totally. The moment this happened, the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to use the form of a hat today, the Holy Spirit rested on Adam and Eve, was not in them. The Holy Spirit rested there. They still had Holy Spirit, but he was outside and no longer in. I want you to catch this really clearly. Your hair is great. Can we do that on your wedding day? Oh, no. Okay. Trev, can I borrow you just for a second? I want Trev to represent a whole pile of people here, if you can just stand here. You need to recognize that from the moment that Adam and Eve fell, all the way over here, Dave, can I have you come for a second over here? I'd like Dave to be Jesus just because of this. You're awesome. Yeah. I want you to recognize how many years from Adam and Eve falling until Jesus came. How many years? 4,000 years. Okay. How many of you are hearing about the flat earth theory? How many of you are hearing about that? Flat earth theory. How many of you are hearing the earth is millions and billions of years old? How many of you have heard that? Yeah. Let me just say, when I was in university and I was a biology student, there's about 204 tests out there that test things, how old they are. Can I tell you, 202 of them date everything to be within 6,000 and 8,000 years. There's only two of them that date things back in the millions and billions of years. Only two. 204 date them to be 6,000 to 8,000 years. So let's just do this. Adam and Eve fell, lost the glory. In between the period of time where Jesus came, Trev this morning represents every prophet, every king, every person who believed, he represents people who believe. Bree, can I have your hat?
Yes.
You're welcome. Could you put that on, Trev? Here's what happened. For 4,000 years, the people could not have the glory. They could not carry the life jacket. Give me one reason why, until Jesus came, they could not have the life jacket on. Why? There was no atonement. Their sin was covered. It was not removed. Let me say this. The Holy Spirit cannot indwell anything that has sin inside of it. Every Old Testament prophet, every Old Testament king, everybody for 4,000 years were sinful, could not have Holy Spirit in them, but they had it on them. Here's what it says. When Samuel was anointed, the Holy Spirit came on him and did it. When King Saul was anointed, the Holy Spirit came on him, he began to prophesy. When David was anointed, the Holy Spirit came on him, and he fought many battles. We could go through all the prophets, all of them, the Holy Spirit came on them. I just want to tell you one thing really clearly. If Trev represents King Saul, here's what they knew. The Holy Spirit came on Saul very shortly into his whole kingship. Saul was disobedient to God. Do you remember what he did? What did he do? He didn't kill. The Amalekites, they were supposed to attack them, kill all the animals, kill all the people, don't leave anything. What did King Saul do? He kept all the animals and he kept the king. Saul comes in and goes, "What is this bleeding I hear? Samuel, what is this bleeding I hear?" Here's what happened. Samuel goes to King Saul and says, "Saul, the anointing that God put on you, I'm taking it off you." Do you know that after that period of time, when the Holy Spirit, it was not in him because he couldn't, he had sin. When the Holy Spirit came on him, off him, do you know from that time on, he began to be tormented in his mind? Do you know that he was open to demonic influence? Do you know that over that whole period of time, he had to deal with the demonic? And that's why David came into his presence playing the harp, and evil would remove from him, and Saul would have peace while David was playing under the anointing. But you need to have it clear. And here's the other thing. David knew what happened to Saul, that the Holy Spirit came off him. Do you know that when David committed adultery and killed Uriah, what was one of the greatest fears in David's life? "Do not remove your Holy Spirit from me." Why did he pray that? Because he saw Holy Spirit removed from Saul. Not the life jacket, not the glory, not the Holy Spirit in, just on him and taken away. I got to tell you, some of you have been there. I've been in psychiatric wards where I am with people. They are going through hell. The battle that rages in their minds and in their life. I want to tell you, they are demonized. They are tormented. I'd love to tell you some psychological studies. We won't do that today. But you need to realize there is a day, and we're in that day, when people do not even have the Holy Spirit on them, not alone in them. The enemy has free game in their life. To make the story, the time came. And I just want to ask you a question this morning, theologically. When Jesus was born, did he have the life jacket on, or did he have the hat on? Did he have the anointing of the Holy Spirit on him, or did he have the anointing of the Holy Spirit in him? When he was born, what did he have? Emptied himself. Am I right? Emptied himself, became a man. Why was he sinless? Let me tell you, because it was not Joseph's sperm and it was not Mary's egg. If he would have had either of them that created him, he would have had sinful nature on the inside of him. As a result, he was a two-cell that was planted inside of Mary. He was a zygote that began to grow. Jesus was absolutely holy. There was no sin in his life. But when he was born only with Holy Spirit on him. Where was the turning point? Let me tell you. 30 years of age, John is in the wilderness baptizing people, baptizing for repentance, getting people ready for Jesus to come, doing the whole deal. The Holy Spirit said to John, "John, you will know who the Son of God is. You will know the Messiah, because when you see the Holy Spirit come on somebody and remain with them and in them, that will be the one." Let me tell you what happened. I won't do it to David this morning. David came, went to John the Baptist. He comes and goes, "John, I want you to baptize me." John goes, no, you need to baptize me. Jesus goes, "No, you baptize me. This has to fulfill." Jesus goes in the water. He comes out of the water. And in that moment, what happened? Holy Spirit came on him and remained. 4,000 years since Adam and Eve, all the way through, John the Baptist look at this and goes, he goes, "That's him. That's him." Let me tell you why Holy Spirit could come and remain on him. Only one reason. What was it? He had no sin. Holy Spirit can't come and fill someone if there is sin in their life. Can't do it. Jesus had no sin. Here's what the Bible says. As soon as the Holy Spirit came on him, the life jacket was on him. The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. He was full of the Holy Spirit. 40 days tempted by the enemy at the end of it. The Bible says he came out of the wilderness, not just filled, he came out of the wilderness full of the power of Holy Spirit. We're going to talk in a second what this does to you. Here's what happened. Fraser, can I have you come for a second? Jesus surrounded himself with how many guys? 12 guys. During that period of time, Fraser, if you would just stand here. Coming back with the Holy Spirit filling him, he began doing things. We know all the miracles, water into wine. He began casting out demons. He healed the man that was blind from birth. He raised the dead. He healed the deaf, the whole deal. The disciples are watching him this whole time. They're watching him. Their faith is increasing, going, wow, he can do this. He can do this. You remember that there was a time where Jesus said to the disciples, I want you guys to go and do the same. Now, here was the question that was asked. Did the disciples have Holy Spirit on them or in them? On them. Why could they not be filled with Holy Spirit while they were... They had sin in their life. Jesus had not died yet. He had not rose again yet. He had not gone to heaven yet. He was not seated at the right hand of the Father yet. All authority had not been given to him yet. He had not done his job. So all he could do was put Holy Spirit on the disciples. They went out. What did they do? They preached, cast out demons, did the whole deal. They came back. We know the story. The disciples had this. Now I want you to watch what happened, okay? I want you to see this really clearly. This is why it freaked the disciples out. This is why he had to bring them back to the point of believing. David, you come over here. At the end of his ministry, and he tried to tell the disciples over and over, guys, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. At the end of his ministry, this is the reason he came, because all he was doing was try to restore what had been given to Adam and Eve and every other person. He wanted Holy Spirit in and on every one of us. What did the Bible say? Jesus Holy Spirit was removed from him completely. When it was removed, what went on him? All the sin of the world. Let me say this, if Holy Spirit had remained on Jesus, the sin could not have got in. Couldn't. He had to remove Holy Spirit from him, emptied himself, took all the sin of the world upon himself. And the moment all of the sin of the world was on him, that happened spiritually on the cross, the moment that happened, the Father removed himself from Jesus, and Jesus cried out and said, Father, why have you what? Forsaken me. You got to understand, Jesus experienced hell on the cross. To be forsaken by the Father is hell. Say it again. The only way the prophecy could have been. That's the only way. So here's what happened. Jesus emptied himself, took all the sin of the world, and at the end of it, on the cross, all the suffering, all the wrath, all the punishment, we know all of that stuff, Jesus made a statement, he said, it is finished. The price for sin is finished. It is now fully paid. Father, into your hands I commit my what? Spirit, the moment he died, he went to heaven with the Father. As he was in heaven, he became empowered. He went down to hell, not defeated. He went victorious, took the keys of sin and death, took every power, every authority, everything that was given to the enemy. When the two of these sinned and gave the authority over, Jesus went down to hell and took it all back again. That's why when he said to his disciples later, he goes, all authority in what? Heaven and earth has been given to me. Can I say this to you? If as a believer, we function with Jesus only having partial authority? If we believe he had partial, what does that say about us? We'll only have partial. We'll have no victory here. We'll have no victory here. We'll have no victory here because it's partial authority. When Jesus made a statement and said, all authority, I want you to watch this. Christ was raised from the dead. Put this back on. Fraser, if you come over here. Fraser's back over here right now. All the disciples are back over here. Here's the cool thing. The disciples, did they have Holy Spirit on them? You bet it, you bet they did. You have to have the Holy Spirit to believe. And they moved to believing. Here's even a great one. Book of John says this. When Jesus showed up in the upper room, for the first time after he'd been dead, he showed up in that room. What was one of the things he did to the... He says this. He breathed on them and they received what? He breathed on them and they received Holy Spirit. Here's the deal. They didn't have the life jacket put on them yet. They couldn't yet. Why? Why? He hadn't gone to heaven and completed it yet. But the Holy Spirit came on them. Let me tell you, that's why when he opened their minds, they could believe. That's why when he taught them, they could grasp it. That's why when he showed them all of the Old Testament and where it talked about Jesus, they could get it. That's why they moved from unbelief to belief. Can I tell you, if you're struggling believing, it's an issue of Holy Spirit revelation. Here's what happened. The disciples had the Spirit on them. Jesus comes over here. Jesus is blessing the disciples. Put your hand out. Give them the blessing. There's the blessing. Yep, beautiful. As the blessing happens, he ascends. Just ascend up the stairs, would you? Here's Jesus ascending. Can't go any higher. The clouds surround him. They disappear. He disappears, right? 10 days. 10 days the disciples remain in Jerusalem. They have the Holy Spirit on them, not in them. They got the Holy Spirit on them. Jesus is gone for 10 days. Can I have your life jacket? Jesus goes to heaven to complete what had to happen. He said, if I go to heaven, he said, and I'll sit at the right hand of the Father, then my Father will send the promised Holy Spirit. Not until then, then. Here's the deal. Why on Pentecost morning, when Holy Spirit came, why at this point could the Holy Spirit not just land on them, but land... Why did they get the life jacket of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost morning? Can I tell you why? Jeff, can you come over here? I want you to just represent the disciples, and not just the 12, but there was 120 in that room that morning. These guys represent. Why in the upper room did the Holy Spirit come, split, land on them, and all of them received a life jacket? Why? Why? These guys are holy. These guys have no sin. Jesus going and doing what he did removed the sin from them because they believed in him. Their sin was out of them. In God's eyes, they are now as righteous as Christ. Now the Holy Spirit comes back in them the same way as these guys that were sinless. It is on these guys now, 120 filled with the Holy Spirit. You get that? What'd they do? The moment it happens, Holy Spirit comes on them, they begin speaking in tongues, they walk out the door, and what do? They begin preaching. They begin going out, they begin doing miracles, they begin casting out demons, they begin doing all that stuff. Can I tell you why? Because when you have this on you, this empowers you to do what you could never do if it's not on you. This is what happened on Pentecost. This was the birth of the church. Now, I want you to see this, and I want to ask a question this morning. Is it possible? And can I just take this off you? You represent the disciples, the 120, all of those. Can I ask you a question? Is it possible to be a believer and not have the life jacket on, but only have this on? Is it possible? Yes, it is. Let me give you a couple examples. Acts chapter 19. The Apostle Paul goes out. The Apostle Paul comes across a people, a group of men, 12 men, that were believers in Christ. They had heard the message. They believed. The Apostle Paul says this. He goes, have you received the Holy Spirit? Now hear this. You got to have Holy Spirit at least on you to believe. And they believed. But here's what they said to Paul. They went, what do you mean? We've never heard of Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? The Apostle Paul tells them about the baptism of fire, tells them. The Apostle Paul lays hands on those 12 men, laid hands on those men, and in that moment, the transition happened. They had the power life vest on. I'm not going to bring any of you up here, but I want you to understand, every believer since that period of time, following the disciples, following them, everyone over here, you can't be a believer in Christ without having Holy Spirit on you. You can't. You have to have Holy Spirit to believe. But there are piles of believers in the church today and outside the church today who believe in Christ, who have never experienced Holy Spirit baptizing them, filling them, anointing them, putting power on the inside. You've got a pile of believers. All they have is the hat. Now, I can tell you personally, I was a believer for a number of years before I experienced the baptism. I got saved at 17 years of age. I traveled Canada and the States on a singing team, led people to Christ. I was speaking at a Bible camp, and the first night, you know the story, I got freaked out. I drove out of the lane the next day. They called me back. They prayed over me. In that prayer, they asked me, have you been baptized in the Holy? Have you received? And I went, no. I did all kinds of stuff because I believed, but I had not the power. I was filled with fear. You know what they did? This old couple, all they did was lay hands on me. This came on me. I moved from here to here. And I went back that night on a Monday night at Bible camp. They don't ever do altar calls until Thursday and Friday at high school Bible camp. That Monday night I felt led, gave an altar call. Half of the high school kids that were there came up and received Christ that night. I began experiencing something in me and through me that I had never known up to that period of time, because you don't get it with this. Now let me tell you. Let me give you a few symptoms of this. I believe. I still walk in fear. All I do is function in flesh. There's no manifest power in the inside of me. I don't know how to pray well in English or in tongue. I don't have any authority over demons. I don't know how to lay hands. I don't even believe in laying hands on the sick and having them recover. Yeah, I believe. Yeah, I go to church. Yeah, I'm not killing anybody. Yeah, I'm not smoking dope. Yeah, I'm... But the truth is, I'm powerless. I want to tell you something I heard years ago. And some of you know people who've been involved in Satanism. Some of you know people who've been involved in the New Age. I remember years ago, I met with a man. He was a Satanist. And we had a conversation. We were talking. And he made a statement to me. He says, you know, Pastor Call? He said, I just want to tell you this. He goes, those of us who are in Satanism, he goes, anytime we come in contact with Christians, he said, we can instantly tell whether they have no power or whether they function in power. He goes, we can instantly tell. They meet somebody and they go, don't worry about them. They're powerless. Don't worry about them. They got no authority. Don't worry about them. They don't do anything supernatural. Don't worry about them. There's nothing. Don't worry. Yeah, they believe, but there's no power. But they said, Pastor Call, when we meet somebody, we can instantly tell if the power of God is on them and in them. We can instantly tell. They're not afraid of us. They talk with authority. We're afraid of them.
They know how to wield their weapon of prayer. They know how to take on darkness. They know how to kick hold in the kingdom.
You know what they said? These people we stay away from. These people don't threaten us at all. And this guy said to me, he goes, "Call, I'll tell you the truth." And he was talking in cameras here. He says, "Call, I'll tell you the truth. The vast majority of people who call themselves Christian are in the church today. No power. No authority. They don't do anything outside of what they can do in the flesh. If you can do it in the flesh, you don't need the Holy Spirit. If you're functioning in natural power, you don't." He goes, "The vast majority of the church functions in flesh. Yeah, they believe. Yeah, they believe. But they're powerless." We often wonder why Jesus did what he did. Let me tell you, the only reason Jesus did what he did is because of what he gave to these two beautiful people. They lost it to the enemy. He came back, went through everything, not so that people could just believe. He did everything so that every person, can you throw that on? Who believes in him would have the life jacket of power. Dwight L. Moody made a statement. He said this. He said, "I would rather have 10 people in my church on fire than 100 people simmering in the pew." I don't want you to answer out loud. How much of the church is simmering? I don't want you to answer out loud. How many of us are simmering? Holding the form of religion. Denying its power. I want to tell you something, and I want you to hear this clearly. In the day that we're living in, there's a great apostasy, there's a great falling away, there's a great deception that's going on in the body of Christ. I want to tell you, I believe that every one of them is a person who has had Holy Spirit on them. They believe they had Holy Spirit on them. They're not functioning with power. They don't have the power to discern. They don't have the power to resist. They don't have the power to hold right. They're not walking in spirit power to resist the enemy and walk free. They're walking in this power. And as a result of this, they're slowly being moved and deceiving. And eventually, most of them lose this as well. Can I prophetically declare? I do not believe a single person in our day until Christ returns who has this life jacket, the baptism of the Spirit of power on them. I don't believe one of them will fall away. I don't believe one of them will. Question? How many men did it take who were wearing the life jacket that every one of us was meant to wear? Jesus got it back for us. How many men did it take in order for the world to change? How many? 12 men. Dwight L. Moody said, "Give me 10. Give me 10 men on fire. I'll change the city. Give me 10 men on fire. I'll change our country, our province. Give me 10 men." And I'm talking men and women. Give me 10. And the enemy's going, "If there's no revelation, I'll fill a church with this." And then watch our city be taken over by the Masons. Watch our city be taken over by the Mormons. Watch our city be taken over by the New Age. Watch our city be taken over by the Satanists. Watch our city be taken over. Do you know why? Can I just tell you one thing? I talked to a fellow this week. Ended up just bumping into him. I was asking where he was working. He's a renovator. I said, "So where are you working?" He goes, "Well, I do the majority of my work, and I will tell you where." Do you remember the old cinema? He says, I'm doing the majority of my work in the old cinema, and we're preparing for it to become a strip club again. Can I say this to you? A church, however many churches in our community full of this, that strip club is going to come and it's going to do everything. That strip club is going to come in no problem. No problem. You tell me what happens if a strip club comes into a city that has even 10 walking. So, church, here is what I want you to see this morning. Every one of us has a choice to make. And I will tell you, the majority of the church will choose this. This is easier. It's natural. The majority of the church. I'm talking the larger church, the majority of the church. What is it that moves a person from here to here? Are we waiting for Jesus to do something in order for this to happen? Are we waiting for him still? Or has he done what he's going to do? What is it that moves a person from here to here? Hunger? Revelation? Obedience? I'll tell you honestly, church, I would love to force every one of you in here and under the sound of my voice. I would love to force you. I would love to bring you. I would love to take you and say, you know what? Shed this thing. Put this on you and let it change. I would love to force every one of you to do that. I can't. If Jesus doesn't force you, how can I? If you could force every one of you, all your kids would be saved. You'd force every one of your kids to be saved. You'd force every one of your grandkids to be saved. You'd force your parents to be saved. If you could force them, you could. Can't do it. Can't do it. Here's how it happens. A person who believes and they have the Holy Spirit on them, they get a revelation. And I'll say this to you again. Nothing will change without a revelation. Nothing. A person has a revelation and goes, this really is what Jesus did. This is what he said. He wants me, he wants every person to have what in the beginning Adam and Eve had that every person was supposed to have. They lost it. They only capped here. Jesus purchased it, gave it back to the early church. Jesus, I want you to do with me what you did with them. I believe, but I need you to come and I need you to take this off of me and to put this on me and let it do to me what it did to them. Is there anything not clear? Here's what I want you to see. There's a pile of these people who don't believe. And there's a pile of people because they don't believe it, they will never make the choice and allow the Holy Spirit to put a life jacket and change them. They won't. They won't. There's going to be a pile of people who choose not to put their faith in Christ, even to believe. There's going to be a pile. When Jesus comes back, there's going to be a pile of unbelievers. There will. There will. There's unbelievers today. There's unbelievers in church today. There's unbelievers out there. There'll be unbelievers then. You can't force them. We're not talking about that. We're talking about those who have had this, and now Jesus says, don't do anything. Don't go anywhere. You don't have the power until this comes on you. Dana, could I have you come? Can we give all these people a hand? Jesus, disciple, disciple. Adam and Eve, you guys, thank you. I'll take the life jackets. Thank you. Twenty-two years of age. Pentecostal Bible Camp, Birch Bay Ranch. Fleeing the camp as the high school camp speaker, filled with fear, insecurity, doubt, couldn't do it, got in my car, I was down the road already on the highway. I had enough of the Holy Spirit on me to turn me around. I heard my parents' voice who said, you gotta be responsible. If you're gonna leave, you at least need to tell them. I turned around. I went in to see them. In that place, they said, have you heard? Have you been? I said, no. They said, could we pray for you? I said, yes. That was the decision I had to make. Could we pray for you? That was the only decision I had to make. I could have said, no, don't pray for me. And there will be some who go, don't pray for me. If I'd have said no, they wouldn't have forced me. They'd have let me walk out of there, drive away with this on, and not, my life would have been changed. They would have let me drive away. Just like I'll let you drive away this morning when we're done and you walk out and you, I'll let you. But I said, you can pray for me. And while my eyes were closed and while I was crying and they prayed for me, power from on high came, landed on my head, and filled me. I've been wearing a life jacket ever since. Not perfect, neither were the disciples. Didn't do everything right, neither were the disciples. That's not the issue. The issue is the life jacket of power. Would you bow with me this morning? Holy Spirit, I am so aware of what is going on in here today. I am so aware of the battle. I am so aware of the voice of the enemy. I am so aware of the doubt. I am so aware of the religious spirit. I am so aware of it. But greater are you. Father, the cry of your heart was that every one of your children that you created would have never known a day apart from the anointing of your spirit on their life like Adam and Eve. God, we know the choice they made and we know how it affected everything. But you have given us the faith to understand that is why Jesus came. That is why he surrounded himself with 12 men who he could bring to a place of not only just seeing, but experiencing and finally believing. Jesus, I want to say thank you again for taking the life jacket off for a moment. I want to say thank you in that moment. You took my sin upon you. Yeah, everybody else's too, you did. But you took my sin on you and you paid the price for it so that I could become holy and be qualified again for your spirit to live in me the way he lived in you. I'm so thankful for Pentecost. I'm so thankful the disciples were obedient to wait those 10 days. I am so thankful, Jesus, you went to sit at the right hand of the Father. And I am so thankful that when you accomplished all that you needed to do, the Father sent his Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, sent him, split apart, landed on those who were in that, and filled them. The life jacket went on all of them. And ever since then, with every person who believes, you have invited them to take the cap off and put the life jacket on fill them with a power that only you can give. A power to believe. A power to stop doing the destructive. A power to start walking in obedience. The power to begin signs and wonder. God, you are waiting for a church to rise up. Father, it amazes me that every Satanist can look at every Christian. And they can see. There's no power. Don't be afraid of them. They can't even control their mouth. They can't even get themselves out of bed in the morning. They don't even have the power to be afraid of, to no longer be afraid of people's opinion. They're more concerned what people think. There's no power in that person. Don't worry about them. God, it amazes me they can see it. But it also amazes me they can see those people who are wearing the life jacket, those people who are walking in power, those people who have the anointing, those people who believe, they walk with such a presence, they walk with a boldness, they are like David who run to the Goliaths. And it's amazing, God, you want that for all of us. It's not just a little group in the upper room, no. When Peter preached, 3,000 got saved and they were baptized. The next day, another 5,000 got saved and they were baptized, and it kept on going and kept on going. And you empowered the church that went all over the whole world. God, it is as true today as it was back then. So Holy Spirit, right now, I know in the midst of all the battle, all the doubt, all the religion, all, I know you are speaking. I know right now, faith, which comes by hearing, right now there is faith. God, you're planting inside of people going, take the cap off me and put the life jacket on me. I want that. I need that. The Apostle Paul said, in the last days, there will be those who hold the form of religion, but they deny its power. The church is full of it. But it also says, if anybody asks me, if a child asks a father for a fish, would he give him a scorpion? No. If he asks him for bread, would he give him a rock? No. How much more? How much more if you ask me for Holy Spirit to come? How much more will the Father give? He has got a warehouse full of life jackets to put on those who are willing to receive and believe. And that's the invitation today. I just want to say this for those of us who know this and walk in it. Being filled and anointed with the Holy Spirit is not just a one-time event. It has to begin once, but a chapter later, they were anointed again and the whole room shook. And a couple chapters later, the Holy Spirit came and filled them again. And I believe throughout their lifetime, they kept being filled. The empowerment kept on coming. And I love what someone said. We need that because we leak. We leak. I leak. But there has to be a point of decision. Take the cap off me and put on the life jacket of power. This morning I'm going to ask you, whether it's the first time, or whether you've received the baptism and you are asking, Father, fill me again. In a moment, I'm going to ask you as an act of faith to stand where you are. The Father that sees your heart, I'm going to pray over you. And when you mix that prayer with faith, we are going to believe for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, there might be a violent wind. There doesn't need to be. This place might shake. It doesn't need to shake. I may need to shake. There is a reason why Jesus had to bring the disciples from unbelieving to believing, because they had to get to a place where they believed that what Jesus said was true and posture themselves until the baptism of the Holy Spirit came, and he did it. And he did it for us. If this morning the cry of your heart, I got to tell you, I was raised Lutheran. We didn't talk about the baptism of Holy Spirit. We didn't even talk about Holy Spirit. Some of you were raised in a different tradition, and that tradition would love to hold you and go, no, we didn't do that. No, they were wacko. Boy, those speaking, that was in the devil. There's things that had to be removed. That's why they say sometimes it's easier to work with a total non-believer than a religious person who gets saved, because there's not a pile of crap there. I don't care your background. I don't care what you were raised with. I don't care what you're comfortable with. I'm just talking about the promised Holy Spirit. So let me tell you, in a moment when I invite you to stand, the first thing I'm going to do is, by faith, with your eyes closed, by faith, I'm going to ask you to put the life jacket on. I'm going to ask you to make yourself, just put it on as an act of faith. Taking your cap off and putting the life jacket on and going, Holy Spirit, this is an act of faith. I'm believing and I'm receiving. I will tell you this, apart from the Holy Spirit, you'll never be able to stand. You just need to know, standing today is going to be because Holy Spirit is moving and empowering you. I don't want you to think about who's beside you. Your spouse might not stand up. They might not even get what I talked about. Don't let that dissuade you from standing this morning. If Holy Spirit is speaking to you, it's got to begin somewhere. If Holy Spirit is laying upon your heart and is giving you an openness, I want to invite you to stand this morning right where you are. Would you just stand with me? For some of you who have walked in the baptism of the Spirit for years, I'm going to invite you to stand as well. And I'm going to ask you to be praying. I'm going to ask you again to be open to receive a fresh infilling today. Those of you who know it, we are hungry more for it. Those of you standing, would you close your eyes? This is not about what anybody else is going to see. Would you close your eyes? Right now is an act of faith. I'm going to invite you to take the cap off of you. Just take it off and throw it to the ground. Just take it off. And as an act of faith, I'm going to invite you to begin to put that life jacket on you. Just start right now where you are. Don't let it be weird. Nobody's looking at you. Just put that life jacket on you. Holy Spirit, I want to say thank you this morning that you are here. Thank you that you are speaking. Thank you. Not one person would be standing today apart from you. And thank you that you have given us a revelation to believe that the finished work of Christ has made it so that we could receive the promise and be changed by him. So right now, Holy Spirit, I invite you to come. I invite you to begin to fill, to pour. Come upon every person. Joel prophesied the Spirit of God would pour out on all flesh, men, women, children. Holy Spirit, right now, would you come? And would you begin to fill? Would you begin to empower? Would you begin to release your anointing? Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Those of you who are standing, I would like you just to begin to pray. I would like you to begin to thank. I would like you to begin to open your mouth this morning and just begin to give him glory. Just begin to give him praise. Some of you this morning, the Holy Spirit may just begin speaking through you in another tongue. You've never had that before. The Bible says in the upper room, they all began speaking in a different tongue. Sometimes it happens right away, sometimes it doesn't. I want you to begin thanking. I want you to begin worshiping. I want you to begin praising. Allow the Holy Spirit. Give Him lordship over your tongue. Give Him lordship over your mouth. You shall receive power. You shall receive power when Holy Spirit comes on you. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, you are doing a work that no man could do. Hallelujah, Holy Spirit, you are doing a powerful work, an eternal work. I believe this morning, Holy Spirit, you are changing marriages because of this. I believe today you are changing men. I declare today a pile of men who are in bondage to things. Today that bondage is broken in Jesus' name. Because greater is in you. Holy Spirit, I thank you. When they stepped out of that upper room, they stepped out with boldness. The opinions of men disappeared. I declare this morning in many of you who are self-conscious and bound with the opinions of men, that is gone today in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit released you. And Father, I want to ask that you would do one thing before we leave here today. Unless we have a revelation on the inside of us, unless we see ourselves with the anointing power of the life jacket on us every time, God, we will forget. We're going to walk like we've got no life jacket. We're going to walk like we've just got a hat on. God, would you give us a picture of the life jacket? We don't leave home without it. We take it to work. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank Him this morning. Just thank Him. Give Him glory. The price He paid for you to wear a life jacket of the Spirit. The price He paid. Wow, what love He has. Holy Spirit is just telling me right now, there are some of you, your spouse is not here. Some of you, your children are not here. Some of you, someone that you wished was here this morning is not here. I want you to take a moment and just release and pray a grace over them, that when you share with them, there would be such an openness, that there would be a hunger inside of them, that you might be the one who would be the instrument of sharing with them and then laying hands on them and praying for them to have the hat off and the life jacket on. Just, you know who I'm talking about. Those of you, you know, just right now, would you pray for them? Just ask God, He'll do it. He'll prepare them. He'll give them a grace. You will have an opportunity. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Father, thank you this morning. You were faithful back then to fulfill the promise of your Spirit coming. You were faithful then. You are faithful today. I ask you would seal what you've done here today. I ask, Holy Spirit, as we step outside of these doors today and as we step into this world, He would be like the disciples stepping out of that upper room. Father, if only 10 were on fire, look what happened. Father, if... Look out, Camrose. Look out, province. Look out, Canada. Look out! If you are here today or if you're listening online and you know all of this is kind of weird to you, but you know you have never prayed to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's where it begins. You need to place your faith in Him. And so right now, I just invite you to repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I am a sinner. I need you. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of all of my sin. Wash me clean and make me holy. And because of that, I ask you to fill me with your promised Holy Spirit. Baptize me. I surrender my life to you, Lord. If you prayed that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family of God. The Bible says you've been born again and you have been baptized by Holy Spirit. Church, I want to say God bless you this morning. Bless you for your openness to receive. Bless you for your openness to believe. Bless you for your openness to be obedient. And today, as you walk out of this place, you are not walking out the same as you came in. I believe we are being changed. We have been. I believe we're stepping out different, and the world needs us. So the Lord bless you today and keep you. The Lord cause His beautiful face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and fill you with His peace and a revelation of His life jacket power. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody believing and receiving said, Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome week.